We're standing in the presence of your majesty. A mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all who never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones we're looking for all this time. But I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody. Save my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody. Jesus. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus. Moses had to stay right. David brought a rock to the sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders. Nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. The moral of the story is, everybody's got a purpose. Start talking to me, saying who do you think you are? I'm trying to tell everybody all about somebody to save my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, will I find relief? I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. They all give my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody to save my soul. Ever since you rescued me, gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
All right, everybody, please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for making each of us special in your sight. Help us to shine your light in this dark world so that we can witness to those that need you the most. Amen.
Amen. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. Welcome to the house of God. If you are visiting, feel welcome and feel in the presence of Jesus Christ. Yes, are you all happy? Yes, you should be. You should be. And I hope you are all ready for the Chiefs game. I'm ready. You can see. Yeah, all red. Yes, I hope they'll win the championship. I want to invite Rick Haley to give us an announcement. And while he's coming, please sign the attendance book and pass it to the person seated next to you.
Good morning. As Pastor Ezekiel mentioned, my name is Rick Halley. I'm the current property management team chair. I'm here this morning to invite everyone to the All Church Conference, which is next Sunday, July 26th. It will be at 11:30, and it will be right here in the sanctuary. The purpose of this meeting is to vote on the remodeling of our kitchen. I encourage everyone to be in attendance. If everyone would take your bulletin, turn it over to next Sunday's schedule, you'll see 11:30, January 26th. Circle that date, put it in your phone, put it on your calendars. We look forward to seeing everyone there. The members of the property management team will be outside the sanctuary after church service to answer any questions that you might have concerning the kitchen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rick, for making that announcement. Yes, it is important that everyone will be here on that day. Membership class will be at 5 p.m. So please, if you have been coming to that class, please be there at 5 p.m. That is just a reminder. And also, the office will be closed tomorrow for Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. So nobody will be here tomorrow. But you can call for emergencies. Other than that, let's go before the Lord with our celebrations and prayer concern. Please pray for those who are not feeling well. Pray for the political situation around the world and in the country. And pray for preschool. They are back. Pray for the children and the teachers. Gracious and loving Father, we want to thank you for this day of worship that you have given us. Thank you for your word that says, where two or three gathered in my name, I'll be among them. We believe you are among us today. Lord, we pray that you be present as we celebrate the gift of salvation, the gift of life, that you have lavished upon each one of us. We ask that you would open our ears today, that we may hear your voice. Open our minds, that we may understand your words. We pray also that you may open our spirits, so that we may know your leading and guidance. And we pray that you may open our hearts, so that we may receive your wonderful love you have bestowed upon us. Lord, may we know the presence of the Holy Spirit here today. May we sense your presence. May we be open to your leading and be sensitive to your word and the way you are speaking to us. Help us to be alert to your presence today. Lord, we want to thank you for the way you have been so nice to us up to this day. Thank you for the celebrations that we have. Lord, we want to lift up those who are not feeling well, those who are in the healing process. We pray that you bring full restoration to them. We pray for our children in school and teachers. We pray that you be with them, give them excitement and motivation this year. We pray for success upon them. Lord, we pray for the programs that we have in this church. We pray that you minister through those programs to draw us closer to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you are with us right now. For we pray in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. Amen. Please join me in the community prayer. Lord, we have come this morning to worship you. We not only want to sing songs of praise to you and offer up our prayers of thanksgiving, but we would be still that we may hear the call to discipleship. By your Spirit, grant us ears to hear and faith to respond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, and forever. Amen. Let's rise up to praise God.
Scripture today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Surely we do not need, as some do,
letters of recommendation to you or from you, do we? Your cells are our letter, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter of Christ, prepared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are confident of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. Our confidence is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Excited to play Sponge. Well, just so that we're not too confused, this is really Dungeons and Dragons, but we sort of switched it around and called it Sponge. And each week you find out a different letter of the word Sponge. So today we're going to go for O.
I'm excited to find out what the O stands for.
Yeah, S is for spirituality, P is for participation, O is for octopus,
origami,
oceanography.
Oatmeal.
Oh, you'll see. Our group of adventurers have just defeated a goblin, and as you continue along the path, you come to a small town. You see small huts and shops scattered about, and in the distance, a large castle rises toward the sky.
Ooh, I wonder what's at the castle.
Maybe there's gold or rubies.
Let's go.
Well, as you continue through the town towards the castle, you encounter a woman with three young kids sitting by the side of the road.
Hello, how are you?
The woman says, hello, travelers. We are hungry and sick. Do you have anything to spare?
Oh, sorry, no. We're just traveling through town quickly. We need to get to that castle up ahead.
Hold on. I might be able to help. I have some bread in my bag here. Here, you can have it.
Okay, let's go now.
Did you say you were sick? What's wrong?
Well, my youngest child here, I think she broke her leg. I don't know how to help.
I have some medical skills. Let me take a look. I wrapped the leg.
Okay. You saved them. So now let's go.
Good job, Stephanie. I'm proud of you for taking some time to think about others. That's really what outreach is all about. Well, you know, I'm going to miss the two of you next week, but I think I found two good players to take your place.
Mm-hmm.
So. And it'll be a surprise as to who it is. It may be a surprise for me, too.
Thank you, team. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Stephanie, for your commitment to help me preach on this series of these strategic initiative for 2020. And those initiatives are called Sponge. And that is, you can see some of the letters up front here. That is what some, you know, two of them we have covered so far. And one of them we are going to cover today. So what do we mean by Sponge? I think we can read there. Spirituality. Let's read in unison. Spirituality, participation, outreach, numbers, giving, and enthusiasm. Thank you. Thank you so much. So on the first Sunday of this month, we focused on spirituality. And then last Sunday, we focused on participation. And today, are you all ready to focus on outreach? Are you?
Yes.
Yes, I'm ready too. So, what is outreach in terms of ministry? What is outreach? And as you can see on the screen, outreach is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone we meet through personal witnessing and different ways. It includes providing spiritual, educational, social events, and activities that can improve the lives of people. It has been proven that providing holistic ministry promotes godly relationships. And it provides those relationships that can lead to, it can lead the unchurched to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, there are examples of this holistic ministry. For example, Reverend Geneva Bryan has been doing Better Together Mission Ministry there on Metropolitan Street. And we can see today, there is on the screen, there is a picture. You know, I visited that church on the Metropolitan Street on the October 27 of this month. It is not far. It is only 15 miles. So I went there. I got to visit the clinic. They have a nice clinic. And that is the sign they put out on clinic day. The days they have for clinic, they put out that sign. And all the people in that community, there are people in that community that come from all over the world. They come from South America, and they come from Africa. So they come to the clinic. And they have a church there, too. They worshiped on Sunday at 2 p.m. So I got to visit their worship, too, because I had already finished worship here when I went there. And I got to interact with them. I want to show you how they worship. I think there is a video.
Everyone has the right to know their health status and access the care they need. That's why Better Together was founded in 2010. Much of our work focuses on refugee families who often fall in the gaps of our current U.S. healthcare system. People who are uninsured but don't qualify for Medicaid. We are located at the heart of the historic and diverse Argentine neighborhood of Kansas City, Kansas, a place where hundreds of refugees have relocated to build their new lives. Better Together is the hub that unites the work of several local health agencies. Through this collaboration, we can bring life-changing health services to the communities that need them the most. We provide free medical screenings, health education, and services so families can break down the barriers between themselves and the health care they deserve. Our volunteers and donors make our mission possible. You can help too. Contact us today to help bring us closer to a world where everyone has access to health care.
Yes, that is an outreach ministry, which is kind of next to our door. It is not too far. There was also a video for worship. I think we didn't record it. Those people, they are full of energy. They sing until they sweat. I will invite them one of these days to come and sing here so that they can give you energy too. So when I saw them, it kind of changed my mind, my approach to outreach. Instead of seeing it as a need, we should see those kinds of outreach as an asset. Because they have talents. We can partner with them. There are some things we can do together with them. So instead of seeing it as a need or giving to them, we should see them also as an asset to us. And I think that is how we should approach an outreach. When we do an outreach, maybe like Be Now on Us, we should also open our eyes to the assets of the people who come from outside to participate in it. And the same thing when we reach out to our surrounding communities. So the people who worship in Argentina, majority of them were Congolese by origin. They are from the Republic of Congo. And there was some Hispanic too. So I have to say that for every task that we do or that we face, there are many approaches that we might employ. We can see it with different lenses. They say there are many ways to skin a cat, right? And that is true. And skinning a cat is an idiomatic expression saying that we can achieve something through many ways, not necessarily through the usual way. So we can see an outreach in different lenses. Now, somebody may ask, what is the difference between an outreach and evangelism? And I'm going to explain it to you today because that is a question that I had to ask myself. And evangelism is primarily a message. It is a message, you know, passing out the message of God, sharing with your neighbors, with the community. While outreach is primarily an action. And I'm going to give you an example of the conversation when you go out there to do an evangelism. So here is a pastor who was making a pastoral visit to the farm or out in the country. So the pastor visits his farmer. And he asked him, do you belong to the Christian family? And the farmer says, no. They live two farms down the road. Then the pastor says, no, I mean, are you lost? And the farmer says, no, I have been here for 30 years. Then the pastor continues, I mean, are you ready for Judgment Day? And the farmer says, when is it? And the pastor replied, it could be today or tomorrow. Finally, the farmer says, well, when you find out for sure when it is, let me know. My wife will probably want to call both days. So, you know, that is exactly what can happen in the evangelism. That is there could be frustration too. But doing an outreach, you know, with action, is much easier. People can feel connected to the community of believers. So why do we do outreach? Why do many churches do outreach? The following are the reasons for doing outreach ministry. To share the good news about the cross of Jesus and good news about opening blind spiritual eyes so people can see that they need Jesus Christ. It is about helping people turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan and to the power of God. It is about improving people's lives. Yes, it is about sharing the good news that Jesus came to set us free. How does Jesus set people free from the yoke of Satan? Examples. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30 to 31, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And the second commandment is to love your neighbor." And then in Mark chapter 2, it continues there in verse 1 to 5. It says, "A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such a large number that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, 'So your sins are forgiven.'" So when I read that scripture, I was like, who are these four men? The scripture says some men. Who could they be? Who are they? Can I get an answer? You don't know? Yeah, it could have been friends, neighbors. If it was a family member or family members, the scripture would have said, because in the next one, it talks about the family members helping each other. So it could have been neighbors or friends. So I have to tell you that it takes a neighbor. It takes a friend to get somebody to Jesus. I'm sure some of you are here because somebody helped you to get to know Jesus. So it takes each one of us to help somebody to know Jesus. It takes the community of believers to help somebody come to Jesus. We always say it takes the whole village to raise a child. It also takes a whole village to raise a Christian child. You know, in faith. I'm not just talking about the infants, but also people who are, children spiritually. And that is what outreach is all about. And if we continue in those examples, we see Andrew in the New Testament introducing others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture says in John chapter 1, verse 41 to 42, it says, "He was happy to introduce his brother Peter to the Lord," which means that we should introduce our brothers and sisters to the Lord. We should introduce our family members to the Lord. And if you continue in chapter 6, verse 8 to 9, he also introduced a young boy who had five loaves of bread and two fish. And then in John chapter 12, verse 20 to 22, he introduced the Greek sacrifices to the Lord. So he went even across the racial line. He went across the borders to introduce others to the Lord in his outreach. So there is no more important work in the world than this, introducing other people to the Savior. Let me say this, neighbors and friends are key to abundance life. Neighbors and friends help each other to get to Jesus for abundance life. And that is what outreach is all about. Helping each other to get to Jesus. It may take a lot of work. You see, these people, they had even to make a hole on the roof. You know, working hard to get somebody to Jesus. It takes an effort. It takes some time. It takes some energy. And this leads us to the second. Why do we have to do outreach? Why do many churches do outreach? To fulfill the Great Commission. And that is the second. Yes, the second reason many churches take an outreach approach to ministry is to win the lost in sin by presenting biblical truths in terms people can understand and in ways that are culturally relevant. Conducting outreach ministry in a way that is sensitive to the needs of the people. Yes, it may include, you know, various means of presenting it. It may include music. It may include, you know, creativity. Creating ways of communication. Creating, you know, making some interest. Stimulating it. Making some credible ways and compelling ways to present the gospel. So we have permission from God to change the way we approach outreach, if we have to. Yes, as I have said, you know, it may take some different lenses of looking at the way we do outreach in the community. It depends on the culture. It depends on the context. So the emphasis of the Great Commission is to go and make disciples. That means leaving the 99 and going after the one lost sheep. That is the fundamental purpose of the church. That is the fundamental purpose of the outreach, to find the one which is lost. We are to reach out to the world for Jesus Christ by becoming fishers of men, not keepers of aquarium, what is in. You cannot, you know, for those who know about fishing, or the fishermen who are here, you cannot clean the fish until you catch them. The Holy Spirit first speak to the fish, tell them it is time to eat, and in order to attract the fish, you need a lure that will grab the attention of the fish. Yes. You need a lure that can grab the attention of the fish. However, with a great lure, you may not even catch any fish. And every person who have gone fishing or a fisherman here can agree with me. Dave, you can agree with me, right? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we went fishing one day and we were in the middle of the water. He was farther away inside, and it was hard to catch in until, you know, Charles and I had to stop and just fellowship and talk in the middle of the water. So those who have gone fishing, you can understand this. So as a church, I think we need a bait that the fish likes and is attracted to. The bait is what the church has to offer. It is the programs that we do. It is the style of music. It is the small groups that we have. Dinner on us, health care, and the list can go on and on. Yet even after catching the fish, there is still the problem of keeping the fish in the pot, especially if it is a big fish. If the child does not offer specific connection and integration strategies to assimilate the unchurched people, I have to tell you, they will find a way to get out of the net or out of the pot and back into the water, back where they came from. Yes, how can we fulfill the Great Commission? How can we keep the fish in the pot or in the net or wherever you can keep? You remember in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "So God created humankind in his own image. And in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." So the Bible is very clear. You and I are created in the image of God. And since God created us in his image, therefore, we can recreate. We have permission to do that. We can be creative because God has created us in his image. Yes, we are able to build. We are able to set people free. We are able to show people the way, the truth, and the life. Those who are lost. What does the Bible say in the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 23? It says, if you have faith, you can move the mountain. If you have faith, you can do what Jesus could do. So before I close this morning, I have to say that too often we forget others are watching us closely to see if our action matches our words. Yes, when we go out for outreach or when we serve people, they see our action. Remember what 2 Corinthians chapter, you know, verse 3 to 6, where we just read in chapter 3. Verse 1 to 6 says, "You yourself are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone." So you see, the heart is the center. It is the center of love and devotion. And it was in the heart that these Corinthian believers were written. Their hearts is like a book or a letter. So Paul continues saying they were known and read by everyone. So professing Christians are letters. The only Bible that all your acquaintance can read and know. I can guarantee you that the only Bible most your acquaintance can probably read is only you. And church people, most of them don't read the Bible. So you could be the only Bible they can read. So if we are trying to please the Lord Jesus, then the handwriting of our lives should reveal a love for others and responsiveness to their needs. I have to say that churches that have strong outreach programs often grow. Outreach creates a climate in the church that makes growth possible. So if we are to be passionate in our outreach, we must be involved in life-changing ministries such as Dina Onas, Hillcrest, Better Together, Mission, and others you can come up with. So please take some time to think about it, pray about it, and identify yourself with one of the ministries. Participate in it. And if you have any question about it, you can come and talk to me. I'm available. In Jesus' name, amen. And now let's turn our attention to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the night in which Jesus gave up himself for us, he took the bread and blessed it. This is my body broken for you. And he broke it. And after the supper was over, he blessed the cup. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many. Do it often as you drink it. In the name of Jesus. Now, let's do the responsive reading, and then I bless it. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let's give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
And so, with your people on earth, and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join the unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and mighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And so, in remembrance of this mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ is coming. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Lord Jesus, we lift up our hearts to you this morning. Thank you for the message you have brought to us. And Lord, as we come before your table that has been prepared for us, we pray for this sacrament. We pray for blessings upon the bread which is before us and upon the cup. As we break the bread together today and as we share from the cup, we pray that this will help us to stay connected to you and also to absorb your love, your kindness, and share with others in the community. So, Lord Jesus, we invite you to be present with us right now. In Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. Those who are helping, please come forward. welcome, and whoever is a believer in Jesus Christ is welcome to the table of Jesus. Let's rise up for benediction. Okay, receive the benediction. Go forth into the world, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may go in peace, and may the peace of Jesus Christ go with each one of you. Amen.
Faithful and true, nobody loves me like you.